available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stanton, back here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. So without further ado, Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about Israel and their split election results. Israel's another case where the public no longer realistically believes anything will change relative to a lasting peace with the Palestinians. Just as I think more and more Americans are skeptical that any of these bailouts are going to work. People just want the violence to stop in Israel, but it won't stop because violence is the key to forcing unwanted changes upon people, and neither of the sets of leaders in the Arabs or the Israelis really want violence or peace in the long term. They're looking for a rearrangement of the globe as globalists. And though they work for different factions, and they are opposing, they're still common controllers, which control both the Palestinian leadership through money and arms, as well as the Israelis. Now, while the so-called centrist Kadima Party leader, Tzipi Livni, came out with a slight lead, 28 seats to 27, and so we're talking about each one of them having about... a little over a quarter of the seats in the Knesset. She did have a slight lead. The 27 seats went to the what I call a phony right-wing Likud party leader, Benjamin Netanyahu. But that doesn't mean that she will get to rule. We're dealing with a parliamentary system here, and neither party came close to having a majority to be able to form a government with their own party, and thus they must put together a coalition government from other smaller third parties. Now, while this system does give more power to small opposition movements, which differs from our system where small minorities like ourselves, constitutional conservatives, get no representation of Congress, unless we happen to have someone lucky like Ron Paul, who happens to be one of us, and gets elected on his own merits, but that's very rare. But in a parliamentary system, the small opposition parties get to have a great deal of control just because to put together a government with a 51% majority, sometimes a small party with even two seats in parliament can make or break the coalition. So they have tremendous leverage at the margins. And thus this leads to a great deal of corruption. Small parties must be bought off with money and promises, and there are few that can or do resist. Israel's far-left globalist president, Shimon Peres, he's the one suspected of masterminding the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, will select one or the other to have the first try at putting together a government. And so it's not known yet. He's supposed to consult with the Knesset. That's merely a formality. They tell him, they all cheer for the people that they want. But eventually he'll either pick Tzipi Livni or Netanyahu to pick to try to put together a coalition. My favorite source on Israel, Barry Chamish, has some fascinating background information on how dirty Israeli elections are. He says, so although the nationalist Likud leader Benjamin Netanyahu could put together a government in a matter of days, and that's because the third-line party, Israel Beitenu, or Israel is Our Home, is in fact further to the right of the Likud, and most of the people who voted for him don't like the Likud, but nevertheless, they suppose that put together they could easily form a majority with just two parties. But I don't think that's going to happen. Chamish says it's going to take a pile of bribery and blackmail that she's going to cobble together. Or basically, he feels that leader Tzipi Livni will get the first shot, that it'll take a pile of bribery and blackmail, but she's going to cobble together a coalition that includes Israel Beitenu, and I'm not sure how she could pull that off, because if Avigdor Lieberman, the leader of Israel Beitenu, doesn't like Likud. He certainly doesn't like Kadima. You know, in review, the Kadima Party was a breakaway from Likud, formed by Ariel Sharon, who never was a right-wing leader. He was a globalist, and he only faked being a right-wing leader, and eventually his sellout of the settlers in Gaza and his other massive compromises to the globalist agenda and to the left. I mean, Ariel Sharon never wanted to make a coalition with the right. He always wanted to make coalitions with the left. And so eventually he started a separate party because he knew that he couldn't continue to masquerade as a right-winger. And so now we have the so-called Kadima Party in the center. It's actually on the left. It's actually globalist. It's very much controlled. But you have the pro-settler movement in the Yisrael Beitenu Party and the Likud Party. And but what do we have? We have a globalist, Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's pretty corrupt. Here's what Barry has to say on the rigging of elections in Israel. He said, "I was present, court, front and center for the rigging of the 1996 Israeli elections." Now, that's when Netanyahu became prime minister the first time. And actually, he didn't win the election, according to Chamish. I was supposed to lecture, he says, at Hebrew University on who murdered Yitzhak Rabin. As it turned out, Labor Party, led by Knesset member Eitan Kabel, and the Secret Service, the Shabak, organized a violent rally against me that turned me into front-page news. The intent was to humiliate me, and the result was to start my new career as a political crimes writer. This had unintended consequences, is my commentary. You know, sometimes when you really go out to destroy somebody, especially in a small country like Israel, everyone starts to say, "Well, we better look at what he's got to say if there's this big riot against him." The interesting thing about Chamish's work, as you know, you've interviewed Barry on several occasions, is that he gets more insider information than anyone, because Israel, you know, is about the size of the city of Houston. And so, I mean, you rub shoulders with everybody, and it's very hard to keep whistleblowers and people who know something from getting information to a reporter like Barry Chamish. And the Jews are just independent enough to buck the establishment and get information to him. Some of them have died for it. Barry Chamish himself has had to leave Israel through multiple death threats and attempts on his life. And this, what goes on in Israel, is nothing near the image of the Holy Land that we're taught about in Sunday school. You know, I've been to Israel several times, and it's a typical Middle Eastern country, people yelling and screaming at each other on the streets and honking their horn and being aggressive. It's hardly peaceful.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen and beautiful description of the way their life is over there. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled. Jobs are heading trading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest is Joel Skousen. So, Joel, go right ahead.
Well, we're talking about Israel and Barry Chamish's recent report on the rigging of the 1996 election, and we're talking about his major speech that he gave at an Israel university and a Hebrew university, and the Shabak's attempt to essentially introduce a major mob to stop his presentation on who murdered Yitzhak Rabin. His evidence is, by the way, just dramatic and important. It shows that it's an assassination of a president by the government of Israel, just like Kennedy was assassinated by our own government. He continues and says, the morning after the riot, I received a phone call from Yaakov Moore. He introduced himself as an economist working for the Ministry of Welfare and Social Affairs, Mr. Minister Yishai. Today, Yishai is the leader of the Shas Party. Now, that's the largest political party in the Sephardic Orthodox Jewish tradition of Morocco. But the leaders have been corrupted by political deals since Shas has been a fairly large party and always been part of the coalition governments. And so they've been, in essence, finagling a lot of money out of the government to support their religious schools, and it's ended up corrupting the party leaders. Because whenever you have millions flowing to a party, the leaders siphon off a lot of that. Anyway, the source, Yaakov Moore, said to him, I previously worked for the Shabak. Now, that's the Israeli secret police. What I want to know is what you have that made the Shabak try to bury you. Now, this is a very interesting insider point of view. Obviously, a person who knows how the Shabak work comes to bury Chamish and says, you know, what are you trying to do that you've got the government trying to kill you? So I invited Moore, says Chamish, to my home to see my evidence on the Yitzhak Rabin issue. Back then I had some 80 documents, not the 2,500 I have today. But he says they were devastating enough in proving that Yigal Amir did not shoot Rabin. I had the police ballistic results showing that Rabin was shot at point-blank range. The cameras show that Amir never got closer than 3 feet to him. So that was physically impossible. He said, Jamie says, I also had the hospital reports declaring that Rabin was shot 3 times, once from the front, and neither of which Amir was responsible for. The cameras of the event never show Amir getting to his front. Anyway, Yaakov was naturally a sympathetic fellow, says Chamish, and without hesitation I handed him my evidence collection, which he read in silence over the next half an hour. When he finished, he put his right index finger over his lips, meaning, shh, I'm not going to talk to you, and he guided me outside. When I reached the street, he said, I'm not talking in your house. You have to be thoroughly bugged. Do you know these documents are authentic? He said. I said, I did know that. Then why didn't you get a job in Nepal or have an accident? In other words, he's saying, well, why aren't you dead? You know how high up this murder had to go? Chamish answered that he did know how high up that had to go. He says, then Moore said, I'll tell my minister what I saw, and I'm sure he'll contact you. Well, that was a little naive on this source's part, as we'll find out. The next morning, Eli Yishai's secretary, that's the minister, called me. He said, Minister Yishai would like to have your documents, and in return will give you the most important story of the Rabin assassination. Do you agree? Chamish says he did agree. In fact, I would have given the documents anyway. That's how much I still believed, or I believed in those days, in the inherent honesty of the political system. He doesn't any longer, of course. Anyway, next day he picks, Yaakov Moore picks him up with a cheery ride to the Knesset's office of Minister Yishai. He said, I made a little error giving my documents to the secretary before I had closed the deal and got their information. She guided me into a small office, closed the door, and then I heard vigorous conversation in the hall outside. Finally, the Shah spokesman, Israel Sudri, then 24 years old, shut the door behind him and sat down. He says, the minister's decided not to attend, but he wants you to know that he backs every claim that I will make to you. This was a bit of a come-down, says Chamish, but I accepted the arrangement like I really had a choice. Anyway, he said, here's what they told him. It's about the 1996 elections. Netanyahu did not win. Peres won. Shimon Peres, who was running against Netanyahu in 1996, won as part of the leftist Labor Party. Won by 3%, just like the polls had it. But the Likud had documents, and we think you've collected some of them. We're sure of it, in fact. In February, his source went on, of 96, the leaders of the Likud met the leaders of Labor, and for a frank discussion of the election, this was before the election, the Likud presented the documents, then someone, I think Netanyahu, held a few in his hand and said, if you bring up the name of Yitzhak Rabin even once in your campaign, we'll release these to the media. Netanyahu lifted another bundle of documents and said, if Peres wins our TV debate, we'll release these documents. Finally, he takes all the documents and says, if Peres wins the elections, we'll release them all. So there was the threat, Dr. Stan. And, I mean, this is a glimpse into real backroom politics. This is what really happens, even in our own country, whether it's government agents or people from the White House or other dark side operators. They have documents on people who run for office, and they threaten them, whether they're pictures of them having an immoral liaison with somebody, or whether something in a compromising situation, or their tax returns, or their offshore tax shelters, or their Swiss bank accounts. They have ways of finding out, revealing those, and using those to threaten people. And we're getting a glimpse through Barry Chamish and his source at the time in how this really goes down.
And Chris, I also think that they can fix the vote. They can bribe people. You know, they can lose votes. They can choose not to count certain votes. They can use electronic voting machines. I mean, there's so many ways they have of fixing elections. I believe that they fix elections in this country, important elections. And, of course, this makes mockery of the electoral process, because we have totally corrupt people, and who are you going to get to investigate the corruption other than the people, you know, who are so corrupt? But go ahead.
That's right. You know, all of the vote count disasters in the United States are voted or are investigated by the people who handle the votes.
Right.
I mean, it's a perfect system to rig it. Here's what happened. One doctoral candidate at the university had inside information on the voting, and he said this Labor-Likud partnership in 1996, notice it was both parties, destroyed over 160,000 votes for Peres and replaced them with spoiled ballots. Now, if you replace them with spoiled ballots, it means they get taken out of the vote. That's almost 5% of the vote. In the 2000 election, there was a highly publicized campaign to desperately spoil votes as a protest. Then only 61,000 were spoiled. Think back on the election night. Peres is declared the winner by the polls, but refused to address and thank his crowd in Tel Aviv. Now, notice what's happening here. Peres knows the fix is in. He knows he's not supposed to claim victory, even though the exit polls are showing him winning by a full 3%. Then at midnight, a smiling Netanyahu addresses a half-empty rally in Jerusalem, promising them that by morning he will be prime minister. Then at 2 a.m., the revolution and vote change appears out of nowhere. By morning, Netanyahu suddenly has the votes to win, and he knew the results were fixed. Now, there was one other source that told him, he said, in Bet Shemesh in 2001, I told a story to a crowd about the 1996 election. And one response hit the jackpot. This man told me, I was an election poll supervisor when the polls closed in 2001. In 1996. We took votes for Peres out of the boxes and burned them out back. We replaced them with spoiled votes and resealed the boxes. I never understood who allowed this to happen, but I didn't want Peres to win anyway, so I played along with it. Isn't that interesting how they get normal people who they knew were predictably, really against a certain candidate, and they can get them to do corrupt things. Well, this is a very real life example of how things happen. Now, it's a little more sophisticated in the United States. We've had those types of ballot tamperings done by political machines in Chicago and New York for many years, ever since the mid-1800s. Now they use electronic rigging to do that. So Chamish concludes and says, so when I suggest that voting props up a political system run by murderers and their aides and abettors, we call that as Shimon Peres gives Lipsy Livni the nod to form a coalition, including Eli Yishai's Shas party. But if Netanyahu is somehow given the first shot, recall that he still holds the big cards on Peres. So he could, I think Netanyahu could still threaten Peres to give him the first shot instead of Tzipi Livni. As I said, Netanyahu could easily bridge the gap to 50% with an alliance of only one or two other parties. His easiest target, of course, would be third-place winner Yisrael Beitenu. That's a party on the real right, which is loathed by the liberal media, both in Israel and the U.S. Now, Netanyahu, typical of a globalist leader masquerading as a right-wing person, is already making noises about another unity government. That's a coalition cobbled together with your opponents, which means that he and Livni would both join together in a government together with Labor. And that's the same trick that Ariel Sharon pulled. And Ariel Sharon would definitely leave the right wing and go make coalitions with the left, not wanting to make commitments to the right on supporting of Orthodox Judaism or the settlers movements, which he as a globalist did not want to do. Now, Netanyahu has campaigned as a person way further to the right and in opposition to Kadima. So Netanyahu has a little more difficult time playing the Ariel Sharon game. I don't think he can get away with it as much, but he will, once he gets prime minister, just like he did in 1996, betray the settlers movement. He signed the Y Agreement, which was another peace movement in the wake of the failed Oslo Accords, which were the secret agreements that essentially set up secret bank accounts for Yasser Arafat and gave arms and ammunition to the Palestinians, which paved the way for the first Intifada in 2000. But the problem is, what do you offer if Netanyahu is going to form a government? What do you offer Tzipi Livni, who's already sitting there as foreign minister? There's only two powerful ministerialships that everybody wants, foreign minister and minister of defense. Strangely enough, minister of defense is something that's supposed to prosecute Israel through strength and security, and they always give that to the left, who is part of the peace at any cost movement. Isn't that ironic? Except that it's a rigged system. And so if Netanyahu is going to form a government, he's going to have to, he doesn't want to give the foreign minister slot or the defense minister slot to a true right winger, because they'll do what is best for Israeli security. They always have to give them to a globalist so that those two positions are covered. And then they divvy out the very minor ministerial positions to their coalition partners. When Netanyahu was prime minister in 1996, as I said, he acted much like Newt Gingrich, the phony right-wing U.S. leader who gave us the contract with America, which turned out to be a contract on America. Gingrich's first acts, as you remember, Stan, were to push through NAFTA and GATT rather than the promised battle against big government. And Netanyahu, in like manner, promptly forgot about all his promises to protect Israeli settlements and sold them out on the false road to peace during the Y Accords. It's interesting that then-President Bill Clinton, no small egotist himself, made this telling remark about Netanyahu when he first met him at the White House. He thinks he's a superpower, and we're here to do his bidding. Well, that's because Netanyahu was a protege of Henry Kissinger and his powerful globalist clique, who paid for Bibi's, that's his nickname short for Benjamin, education here in the United States at Ivy League schools, got him a job on Wall Street, made him a star in Israel by providing Netanyahu with a roster of international heavyweight speakers at his terrorism conference. Netanyahu and every other Israeli prime minister always visits Kissinger and his associates to get their briefing before they go to the White House. Now, that is why he's so cocky and sure of his position.
I agree with you totally. And what most Americans don't understand is that this small little cabal that runs America puts people in power all throughout the world. People supposedly representing the people of Israel or whatever the other nation would be, and they're all puppets. Because they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about the one world government. We'll be back at this moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hi, this is Danny Golden, Promotions and Sales Director for KHNC. I would like to encourage all of you business owners, big and small, to take advantage of our 1360 advertising special. Don't let this economy stop you from reaching those important customers who need to know your doors are still open for business. For $136 per month, you will receive our $525 3-spot per day special, or double your spots to 6 spots per day for $272. You won't find a better price. Call me today for our No Frills 1360 advertising special, 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576. And tell me you want that No Frills tax-deductible beneficial business package. I'll look forward to hearing from you.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen. And Joel, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get a copy of World Affairs Brief and perhaps subscribe to it as I do. It's full of important information.
Well, the World Affairs Brief is a weekly Internet subscription newsletter that goes out to all my subscribers every Friday. So today I'll be putting it out after this interview. People can always read a synopsis of the current brief on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and they can get a sample copy by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and it tells them right on the front page of the website how to do that. Right below that on the website is a synopsis posted by my researchers on the top news stories of each day, and they've been filtered through my researchers based on a criteria that we've worked out over a period of years so that you get the best of the news stories with the least disinformation. And if there's, you know, some major problems with the story, normally it's got a brief introduction that tells something about that. but I know that you rely on that because it saves other people in the movement a great deal of work to get the pre-screening done by my staff. In any case, it's a free service there on the website, so people can go and find out what's happening in the country. Also on the right-hand side, I have a lot of information from my archives about past government cover-ups and problems with everything from the assassination of JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King, and the Oklahoma City bombing controversy, 9/11, TW-800, all of those things I've covered in some detail from my archives. So it's a site with a lot of good information on it. Also on the left-hand side, people can see some of the books that I've written. My specialty has been preparedness for what I think is going to be a very bad ending to this continual appeasement with Russia and China in the world, as well as the economic debacle, which is now upon us. And I think people need to definitely prepare should this not have a happy ending.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I recommend very, very strongly the World Affairs Brief, and especially going there every day and just picking out the important issues. But please go ahead with your story.
Well, I'd like to switch topics now and talk a little bit about the congressional bailout, which is all the rage now. You know, it's interesting that they don't give any press at all to the handful of congressmen who are saying, you know, this is just all wrong. All they do, everyone is working for the assumption, well, we have to bail something out. I mean, that's the only thing we can do is to, government causes and government has to solve it. But government's trying to solve it, as you know, by the same thing that caused the problem, pushing out more phony money and creating another bubble. That's what they did after the 1990 stock collapse. The dot-com boom, they created another bubble in real estate, and all of that money went into the real estate markets, and all of the money in the world went into buying up these debt mortgages packages that have been, and now they want to create the ultimate bubble, which is just pure paper money. And you know where this is leading. This is obviously leading towards eventual hyperinflation. Now, you wouldn't know it with the downturn in the economy. There's a contraction in prices, but eventually, you know, the devaluation of the dollar and hyperinflation has to occur if you keep pumping out the money at the rate that they have. Now, they have the advantage in the fact that we've got over $100 trillion out there in the international marketplace. And so even creating $3 trillion more is only 3% of the money supply internationally. And so you can see they've got tremendous power to still inflate without getting to hyperinflation. But the trend is there, and it's very serious. Congress rants and raves. We've seen it at all the hearings this last week, you know, with their hearings with the big bank CEOs about their profligate ways. These are people who have received billions of dollars and still spend millions in parties in Las Vegas and Atlantic City and great big, you know, promotions and splashes as if banks really needed to promote themselves. And, you know, they're complaining about the Fed and its creation of money. They're complaining about the Secretary of Treasury and their secrecy and not revealing where the money has gone and the manipulation in the markets. But you don't know that does any good. The power to control money was given away a long time ago with the creation of the Federal Reserve. The power to keep control over deficit spending now has gone out the window with the first TARP legislation. It has nearly unlimited grants of power to the Secretary of Treasury to bail out whomever and whoever he wishes. Eventually, we are headed for the collapse of the dollar and hyperinflation, which are two sides of the same coin.
And you know, Joel, what they do is they focus our attention on the expensive weekend programs. For the big bankers, we focus our attention on the corporate jets, and but they never get around to saying, well, what should we really do? Well, certainly the banks that put together the fraudulent bonds made up of housing mortgages they knew were going to default, they should be held responsible. And they're saying, oh, they're too big to collapse. Why, we couldn't allow that to happen. They ought to collapse them. They ought to be forced to take back these mortgages that they put out all throughout the world, literally trillions of dollars worth of those. And people say, well, we don't know how to value those. Fine, let them value them. They created the problem. Certainly Moody's and Standard & Poor's that gave fraudulent rating to these bonds should be held responsible. But have you noticed nobody's held responsible? Oh, it's the corporate jets that's responsible. It's the weekend in Las Vegas that's responsible. And we never address the real issue, and they keep our minds busy with issues that are not a major problem. Now, certainly, I'm against the massive bonuses for corrupt officials. But why don't we force the people who created the problem to solve the problem? And it's because they are the very ones who want to collapse our system, and they're going to benefit from it. I mean, when you talk about J.P. Morgan, Chase, whether you talk about the Goldman Sachs, you talk about Citigroup, they're all parts of this Trilateral Commission group. They're members. I mean, there are only 87 people, but their people are there, and their goal is to destroy our economy and bring about the world government. And until people recognize that, why are we simply flailing against the windmill?
Well, you know, in principle, it's extremely important that people who have been made extremely wealthy by these scams, and they are Ponzi schemes, just like Madoff,
right,
ought not to be able to retain any of their money. The problem with getting it back, though, is that we've developed a whole system of law built around limited liability through corporations, and these people have very smart lawyers. You can't get at their money, which, let me just explain, limited liability is a very important principle in business law because it allows investors, small investors, to add to a stock to a public company and not be held liable for the misdeeds of the company. If every small investor was liable for the misdeeds of a company way far away across the country that they had no essential control of because they're a small investor, they can't control what goes on at the board of director level. If everyone, every stockholder was liable for the actions, then there would be no investment in the country, or very little investment, because you just would have too much liability relative to the benefit of investing in a company as a small investor, and only the largest ones would have, you know, any essential control over the company. So, limited liability in terms of corporate structure does create a great deal of benefit. But I'll tell you the downside on the other side.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen, right here on the American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Sterling Diesel Service reminds us that safety on the job is job one. Knowledge of the job, sobriety, and awareness are qualities we all count on in our fellow employees and employers. Keep the workplace and job site safe for yourself, your coworkers, and the clientele you serve. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Sterling Diesel Service. They say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Sterling Diesel Service in Sterling, where they're always concerned for the safety and welfare of our community.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, you were talking about limited liability.
Yes. What I would suggest as a proper change is, rather than allow everyone to have limited liability, I would say only the ones, in other words, all of the principals of a corporation or a company who owned in total of 51%, meaning that the controlling majority, become fully liable for everything. And only the minority stockholders would have limited liability. Now, that would allow you, in other words, to build large corporate capital bases with small people contributing. But it would still make the principals who actually control the corporation, the 51% people, totally liable for the misdeeds of the corporation. Now, if you'd made that one change, for example, all of these Ponzi schemes would not be able to hide behind the shield of limited liability. What happens in limited liability is that they make all this money in compensation in a corporation. When it goes bankrupt, the people who have taken that compensation out of the company get to keep it, because that compensation is outside the corporation, and the bankruptcy only pertains to the assets remaining in the corporation. That's why Lehman Brothers, for example, put out $284 billion in compensation and left only $6 billion working capital in the company. So when it went belly up, there was $6 billion to divvy up and $284 billion that had been shielded by limited liability. And that's improper. I think, as you say, that the people who created these messes ought to have their wealth tapped to be able to repay these people, and nobody who was responsible for the default of a corporation walks away a rich man.
Amen to that. And I think we should address that rather than be concerned about an outing in Las Vegas. But they know how to manipulate our minds, how to create issues, you know, and the congressmen and the senators can get up and pontificate and how terrible it is that you flew to Washington, D.C., you know, in a corporate jet, rather than get to the real issues. It's basically, it gives us cognitive dissonance. We can't think effectively, and they manage to mislead the whole nation of sheep.
Yes, well, you know, of course, there's been a tremendous amount of fear factor used in selling this bailout. And, of course, when this one doesn't work, what really concerns me, Dr. Stan, and what they've got next down the line, each one of these bailouts has more and more power and more ammunition to throw at the problem. And all of this is leading to a major change in our way of life. It's becoming very controlled and socialistic. And the way that you operate the true free market is not the way that they claim. This has not been truly free markets, which free markets have a legal system which absolutely prohibit fraud and deception in the marketplace. That isn't really the same kind of regulation we're talking about of telling where what you cannot invest in. What it is saying is, for example, that when you put up a promise to perform, that you've got to have reserves. Now, those are legal requirements to keep Ponzi schemes from occurring. And you need to, government aggressively needs to make sure that reserves are much higher than what they are. I mean, for example, insurance companies don't have but only 10 to 20% of the money in their companies to pay off if all of their insurance policies went belly up. And, of course, the derivatives, which are insurance policies as well, have almost zero reserves. They don't have any reserves. In fact, they're not backed by any specific reserves. They're only backed by the faith and credit of the company which sold the policy. And, of course, they were able to show that they were worth billions of dollars when they sold these derivatives, but now they're not worth anything, at least it's marketable. And so, essentially, all of the derivatives are a Ponzi scheme. And those things ought to be reversed where the money can be found. And as I say, that's why you need to first of all make sure that you don't allow these kinds of Ponzi schemes. But, you know, even normal insurance, car insurance and house insurance is a Ponzi scheme. They don't have all of the money. If there were a major catastrophe, every insurance company in the nation would go bankrupt.
Well, you know, a lot of them really are in real trouble. Hartford, Aflac, these. I mean, they had so much money invested in the stock market. The stock market went down. The bond market went down. They were invested in, you know, in housing and building developments, and those have gone down. And a lot of these major insurance companies are pleading with the government to let them have smaller reserves. because they don't have enough reserves, to handle all the claims that they're insuring. I mean, we're in real trouble as far as the whole basic structure of our capitalist system. It is because, of course, they've created this artificial contraction of our economy, and heaven only knows where it's going to end up.
But, the whole concept of insurance, in fact, is a fraud. Because the concept of insurance is that only, a certain percentage of claims are going to ever have to be paid out at any one time.
Well, it's just like a Ponzi scheme.
That's right. You take all this money, but you don't really have to guarantee all the policies that you're guaranteeing. And when you do have reserves, those reserves are invested. As you say, if those investments go bad, the reserves disappear. But in reality, in fact, you have made promises to pay more people than you can pay, and that's a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Now, because it works, because most people die with having let their insurance lapse because it gets too expensive, and they purposely do that, raise the prices to make sure that they don't have to pay out on everything, and certain things don't happen. Nevertheless, if they insured 100%, the premiums would be so expensive no one could sell insurance. In other words, if they really had to guarantee all the policies they write and have money in the bank to pay them out, the insurance premiums would be tremendous. And nobody. So you see, the whole insurance system is built on a fraudulent concept of knowing that we're not going to have to pay out all of these things, and therefore we can make money in the process. So somebody's going to be hurt when this world goes through some major war and catastrophic things. And, of course, that's why they have acts of war prohibited in insurance contracts to make sure that they don't have major payouts. But God has some things up his sleeves that aren't going to be pretty in the future. Now, one of the major problems in the Obama administration is the continued hypocrisy. He's having the embarrassment of having several people have to leave his cabinet before confirmation because they violate the principles that Obama laid down about open, transparent, and honest government. He's stacked everything with globalists and lobbyists, former lobbyists like Tom Daschle. And finally, Daschle was under so much heat he had to leave.
Well, we're out of time, Joel. God bless. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks very much for everything you do.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Not Just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland takes this time to remind all drivers to drive carefully and cautiously. Drive as though your life depends upon it, because a child's life often does. When you take to the road, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, common sense. Remember, drivers don't drink and drive. Let's keep our children safe from harm. That's from Terry Madigan and her fine family and staff at Not Just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our programs with Joel. I enjoy them every Friday. And, of course, this is the time I need to mention that our ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you are in a position to help us, you believe that what we're doing is important, we'd love to hear from you. And our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. But our recurrent theme is that we're really involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, and now a financial battlefield, that this whole financial collapse was carefully calculated. People like Henry Paulson, formerly CEO of Goldman Sachs, made almost $1 billion through his corrupt activities. And, of course, rather than try to solve the problem, when he was given the $700 billion, he gave at least $350 billion to his friends on Wall Street and other banks. He couldn't even give away the other $350 billion. He had to leave it for the Obama regime. But he specifically did not address the housing issue, which is the major issue. Why didn't he address it? Because they don't want to solve the problem. They want to continue the problem. Very interesting, of course, when they passed this stimulus bill, one of the stipulations, almost unanimous from both houses of Congress, was the fact that the money for, you know, products for steel and cement and other things going to be used in these building products would you be used here in America to make American jobs so Americans could go back to work. And, of course, the administration objects to that, the Obama administration. Why, that would hurt global trade. You know, we can't spend the money to bring jobs to America. And they're absolutely right. Absolute. The whole purpose of the bailout is to increase jobs in China and Malaysia and throughout the rest of the world. That's what all of the bailouts. You remember we had a bailout early in the year 2008. And of course, it was to be used to buy things from Walmart to keep the factories moving in China. But we can't let the American people know that our leaders really have no loyalty to this America. Their loyalty is to this globalist dream, the New World Order, the New World Religion. Once you begin to understand that, everything makes sense. That's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, shame on you yet. And if you can't afford to read it, go up to my website, RadioLiberty.com, and look at our talk. Because, of course, the book came from the talk, not the talk from the book. Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll find it at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. Our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus that goes with that. Our material on concentration camps, whether the DVD or the amazing clips or the shocker or the four tape set or the concentration camp special. It's a good bargain, and it will give you the material, and then you can copy it and get it in other people's hands and let them understand this is not imaginary. There really are people who are planning on creating a Nazi-style dictatorship here in America, because the same forces that energize the Nazis, the occult forces, the disciples of Madame Blavatsky and Annie Besant and the other theosophists, they're working at the highest levels of our government today. In fact, of course, we find this in so many of our major families, whether it be the Rockefeller family or the Ford family or the Carnegie family or the Mellons, or they're all tied into the occult, and that's why they have their wealth. You need to get the great DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix. Will take you into the background of the emblem and the markings on the back of the dollar bill and the president who put them there, who also packed the Supreme Court with Masons to take God prayer out of our schools. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.